Tonight's going to be partly cloudy, low of 54, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, it's going to be cloudy and foggy in the morning, then mostly sunny, high of 69, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds are 10 knots. They're going to increase to 10 to 15 this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Tonight out there, west winds 10 to 20 knots. The wind waves 1 to 3 feet. Mixed swell west 3 to 5 feet 8 seconds and south 3 feet at 14 seconds. Tomorrow out there, the west winds 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet. Northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. And for current temperatures, I've got Watsonville at 57 degrees. In Monterey, it's 56. And in Salinas, 57. We are also at 57 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. And for your KSEO King of the Hill traffic update, I've got some things to report here. Let's see here. We've got a traffic hazard between lanes 1 and 2 on southbound 101, just north of Bernal Road. And then I also have a traffic collision reported. Let's see, the location is Big Sur, but it's not giving me any more specific details. And it looks like it's a two-vehicle crash. CHP is on the way there. Also, there is some tree trimming going on in lane 2, and it is closed on northbound 1 at Soquel Drive. Northbound 1 at Soquel Drive, they're doing some tree trimming, so lane number 2 is closed. And if that changes, I'll let you know. And if you see something that I didn't let you know about, give me a call, 475-1080. All right, the official time, 10:07, 46 seconds on this Saturday, August 6th. Up next, we've got the Saturday special. Are you ready for this?
Are you ready, Hezzy?
I'm ready. Are you?
Yeah, you bet I am.
Excellent.
Absolutely. And running true to form, we've got brand new equipment in the studio here. And so I have my Bill Graff standing behind me watching to make sure that I don't completely screw things up. Michael Zwirling will be with us presently. Right now, I have to introduce myself. I'm Charlie Friedman. And Michael also invited in today our own Brad Cava, who comes in and does the What's Left program on Wednesdays. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Charlie. The inmates have taken over the prison.
You're
here.
Absolutely. And Riley is here, too.
Of course.
But Riley is generally a very quiet girl, so I don't expect her to be woofing and barking on the air. She just brings the ears over for me to scratch. Always a good thing.
She loves the radio.
She does. She absolutely does. And Brad, you've done Saturday specials before, haven't you?
On occasion, yeah.
Okay, so what it's all about. My goodness, today we are blessed.
What?
We are blessed.
That we're still speaking English today?
No. You see, quite often, you've had this happen to you, I'm sure, as a talk show host, a radio professional. You come in to do a program, and there's really, it's been what they call a slow news day. There's just nothing happening. So you figure, well, you know, somebody's wash fell off the line, or somebody's cat got rescued from a tree, and is that what you're going to talk about? But today, we have something to talk about.
We do. Some of the biggest news. I got up early and started working on my Rosetta Stone Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Are you
learning Chinese?
They own us. Yeah.
I'm reminded of people who back in the 80s were learning Japanese, and people back in the 30s who were learning German. So, you know, I'm not really too concerned about it. I think I'll get by with my English.
Yeah, at least for a little while. But the next generations are in big trouble.
You know, that's the worst part of it. You're not the first person I've heard say that. And this is definitely something new and different in the United States of America, when it's good to be old and not good to be young.
Well, it's sad anyway. Sad.
I think it's something that really gives pause.
Yeah.
I think we should mention to our listeners a couple of very important things. Number one, this is going to be a News Talk Saturday special, and your telephone calls are welcome. But just in order to confuse you completely, there is a new telephone number for call-in. It is 713-4277. Once again, 713-4277. Now, if you're the type of person who works off of memory tags, 713, well, it's almost 714. So you can think of it as Joe Friday's badge number, or, you know, one digit off. 42, of course, was the Battle of Midway. 77, Sunset Strip. So it's Friday, Midway, Sunset Strip. And if
Charlie,
you can
you've confused me so much already. What happened to 1080?
No, the answer to that is the phone company couldn't switch the number over in due time. And presently, the number will go back to being 479-1080.
Oh, good.
We're stuck
we
with,
need that.
We're stuck very temporarily with 713-4277.
So now I'm looking at my phone Friday, Saturday, Monday, Friday, 77 Sunset. Tell them again, because we definitely want calls today.
713-4277. So tell me, Brad, don't you ever use memory tags like that?
I do. But
I when I was in the Navy, we had this secure space. It had a cipher lock on it. 30 years later, I still remember Truman crash. The number was 48. That was the year Truman was elected. And, of course, the market crashed in 29. 4829. Bing, and I'm in.
And there you go.
30 years later, that number is still in my mind.
And you do it all the time, whenever you have the number remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I try to. I'll look at the number and I'll say, okay, how can I break this down into things that that I can put a memory hook on?
I used to be able to do that. Now my RAM is so filled with numbers and things. And plus, you know, I think, and you'll maybe probably agree with this, some of our devices have made it worse. I used to be able to remember every phone number I'd ever dialed. I could remember the number.
Yeah,
now that I have on my phone, Dad, you know, Mom, call these numbers. My phone does it all. I can't remember a number. None. Not even my own.
Well, this is an example of a muscle that you've ceased to exercise, and as such, it has gone limp on you.
Yeah, well, at least that's the only one, I guess.
Well, time will tell. Time will tell. Yeah. So anyway, let's go ahead and launch into our perorations for the morning. Nikki didn't tell me when we need to do breaks, but I'm assuming 20 past. Is that satisfactory? Okay, that's going to be real good. Looks like we have our first caller. Let's find out if we do or do not. No. Okay, that's fine. Well, Brad, the big news, obviously, now there are three rating systems. There's Standard & Poor's. They've just downgraded our bonds from AAA to AA-. And there's also Moody's and Fitch's, both of which continue to carry U.S. debt at AAA. Your observation about that. Why are they differing on this? Why don't all three sing the same song?
I have so many different ideas on this same thing. But now you remember, too, in the crunch of the failure, say, Shearson Lehman, remember what their rating was before they went out of business?
No, I don't.
Lehman Brothers?
No.
AAA, top of the line, right on up until the end.
You're making a very good point. One of the things I was going to mention was that, you know, just a few years ago, the thing that got us into this god-awful financial hole in the first place was people selling mortgages, lots of people selling lots of mortgages to lots of people who really couldn't afford to pay them. And then these mortgages were packaged into something called derivative. Put a whole bunch of these together and let somebody buy them. And these same rating services were saying, hey, these are AAA investments.
Exactly.
So when you look at a rating issued by these rating services, it's perfectly reasonable to say, who the hell are you and what's your track record?
Right. And also, are they politically inspired? Which we've come to find out many of them are. These ratings. There's a politics behind it, an opinion behind it, and the facts are mumbo jumbo when it comes down. I mean, they rated, why am I blanking? Enron. Enron had great ratings right on up until the end. Nobody, if we'd have known, nobody knew that thing was coming crashing because right on up to the end, the stock people are telling, oh, safe stock, great stock, buy it. Didn't George Bush have the head of Enron, one of his advisors, his energy advisors, while they were
Let me see here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, mark your watches. It is now 14 and one half minutes into the program, and we have the first mention of the evil George Bush from Mr. Kaba.
This is history.
This is history.
You can take a drink. Every time I say George Bush, you take a drink. Every time he says something bad about Obama, take another drink.
You know, there's only one problem with that.
Yeah.
I left my whiskey at home. We could, you know,
we could have coffee.
Drinking games coffee. That they play at teenagers' parties. Every time you take a drink, you do that.
Yeah.
Looks like we have Richard in Watsonville on the line for our first caller. Richard, you're on the air with Brad and me. How you doing? I don't hear anything from him. Bill, do you have any idea why that might be?
Now you should.
Okay, Richard, are you there? Once again, no. Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. This is the maiden voyage of brand new equipment in the studio. So Bill Graff is here looking over my shoulder, trying to make sure that all the correct buttons are in the correct positions. Okay.
Richard, call back.
Richard, give us a call back and we'll try.
Charlie's got this thing in front of him. It's like, you know, a pilot has just as many things in front of them to fly the plane. And this is his first time, our first time seeing this stuff.
Well,
it's beautiful.
Most of the things that are on this board, we will not be bothering with today.
Yeah.
There's just a few things. Here's me, here's you, and here, hopefully, will be Richard. Richard, are you there?
I'm right here, Charles.
Hey, first caller on the new system.
Yes,
welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the call.
How does it sound?
You sound good.
Okay. I want to know a question. I got a question. Listen, this Fitch and Standard & Poor's, this reporting country that gives these countries the credit rating, who do they report to? Do they report to the World Bank or the World Court or the World what?
They
these
report
companies that make these rating decisions on all these.
I understand your question. You're asking who do they report to? The answer is they report to the public. They make these reports public, and then everybody, you, me, the guy down the street, and of course the people who manage large, retirement funds, et cetera, we all have this information. And then when we, Edward Jones, whatever your investment service is, if you have anything to invest. And the point being, all of this is public information. It's made available to the public for their, for their consideration.
But I think what Richard's saying here is, to whom are they really accountable, right? I mean, what when Enron went down, right? Some people went to jail in Enron. Where were the people who gave them the great ratings? Why didn't they go to jail too?
In this particular case, what you're talking about is the dissemination of that information.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do, Charlie, with the people or the government, this country, when it gets a single A rating? They're going to turn us into who?
I don't understand.
They're going to be accountable to who?
Turn us in. No, you don't get turned in. Here's how it works.
Well, they turn them into a credit rating.
Look, when you're looking at who is the ultimate decider, look in the mirror. And everybody, every other American does too. Let me give you an example. For example, if the New York Times begins printing stories that aren't true, then it is expected that people who buy the newspaper will start scratching their head and saying, hey, why am I spending money to buy a newspaper that carries stories that aren't true? I'm going to quit buying this paper. And what then happens is the New York Times goes out of business, not because some cop pounded on the door or somebody said, you can't do that, but simply because they destroyed their credibility and nobody pays any attention to them anymore, which is exactly what ought to happen to Standard & Poor's.
Well, but the National Inquirer...
What happened to Greece? Are we going to get
no,
down
they,
to that
they
level?
Print straight stories.
We going to get down to the level of Greece?
I don't think so, but you have some political figures already saying that we're headed there. What do you think, Richard? Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, I'm ready for the worst always, so I'm just hoping for the best. So.
Okay.
Richard, I have Rosetta Stone Mandarin Chinese program you may want to start studying. They'll like you better if you speak their language.
No, I like the cash.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Richard. And for inaugurating the phone service on our new board here. Okay, as I look at the big clock, which is no longer on the wall, I notice that it's time for our first... No, you don't want to do our first break. Okay, we've got a phone call coming in on line two. If I want to grab that, what do I do? Just punch that there?
You hit line two here.
Line two there. And we have on air... Hello there, Bill. You're on KSCO.
Hey.
Hi, Bill.
A lot of chaos going on down there.
Put that in boldface.
And I'm getting an echo. Well, anyways, the reporting agencies are giving information, selling information to investors that invest in different instruments, such as bonds, and the Treasury issues bonds, and so people make decisions on what to invest in based on those ratings.
That's right.
If the rating companies are giving out bad or false information, the investment community will judge that and will discredit the ratings. They look at what people that give good ratings. It's a guide for where you can have your safest haven for your money for investment. Now, the investments themselves that are rated higher will be able to borrow at a lower cost of borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a creditworthy borrower who is more capable of repaying faithfully,
mm-hmm,
borrow at lower rates. That's the marketplace determining that.
Richard, do you have a landline? You have some great points, but your cell is coming in and out on this thing.
You want me to call back?
It would be good if you did. You sound like you're talking through some water.
I know. But it was harder getting in. I'm going to be lacking.
Try your landline because it sounds really bad.
Memorized.
Anyway, thank you very much for the call, Bill.
Try back.
And Brad, I agree. Very good point raised there.
Yeah. No, he knew what he's talking about. And it's, the thing we haven't talked about, and we will talk about. Did you see China sent us a letter?
Oh, really?
China sent us a letter. This is why I'm all about the Chinese today.
Okay.
They sent a letter telling us that it's time we shape up, and they want us to cut our military spending.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Of course they do.
Yeah, that's...
But can you imagine? That's what was in the mail today to the U.S. They made public a letter telling us to cut our military spending and our other spending. But the first thing was military spending. That is the most frightening thing I've seen in my lifetime, practically.
Well, Bill has done our bidding. He called back. Bill, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, how much better. Thank you very kindly, sir.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, you were making a point concerning the credit rating systems and the assumption of risk and the fact that people use that to make decisions.
They use that information for making decisions, exactly.
Now we got the trouble again.
And, it's not good, is it? No.
It was good for a couple of seconds, and now you're back under the waves.
Is he on a cell phone?
Yeah. Well,
are you on a cell phone, Bill?
I am.
You are? Okay, well, that's the problem.
What kind? What brand?
Sprint.
Sprint? No. What brand? Oh, Sprint, first of all. Yeah. What brand, second of all?
It's a Motorola.
Motorola.
Hey, it's a USA company.
It is. Well, sad.
Yeah, but just the same.
My cousin works there.
I don't know of any magical, you got so-and-so's cell phone. It always works, right? I've never heard of that.
Oh, I just switched to an LG. I'm sorry to say. Made in Korea.
LG? Landing. I keep thinking of landing craft.
Best phone I've ever had. It's amazing what this thing does.
Life
it's scary.
That's LG.
Well, Bill.
You want me to call back?
Grab a landline and give it a try, okay?
I wish I had a landline. Oh. Those are like dinosaurs.
I'll step down to the corner phone booth and make a call in. That's all you have to do.
Try one more time. Okay.
Charlie, I was in Iowa last week,
yeah.
And there were some phone booths. People were taking pictures of them. It was as if they knew they were never going to see them again.
They should come to my house. There's one at the Quick Stop, and there's another one across the street, the Orchard Park Market. And the one at the Orchard Park Market is really an honest-to-God booth.
And well, there you go. We'll see how long they last.
It's been there for a number of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Nikki, do we need to do any... Okay, we're going to take a break here on the Saturday special. It is 24 minutes past 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm Charlie Friedman. Brad Cava is with me in the studio. Michael Twirling is somewhere. And now, here are some important words.
Stuff the bus! Stuff the bus! Stuff the bus!
Hello, I'm Shannon from Palace Art and Office Supply on 41st in Capitola. Hey, Mabel, what's this I hear about a stuffed school bus?
It's our second annual Stuff the Bus this Saturday from 10 to 2. We're joining with United Way and the Santa Cruz County Office of Education to stuff the bus with backpacks and school supplies for Santa Cruz kids that need the help.
Oh, I want to help. What can I do?
You can purchase a United Way pre-filled backpack for $20 for Saturday's Stuff the Bus event. You can place new school supplies in the United Way barrels at both Palace stores, or you can volunteer with United Way on Saturday to help fill backpacks.
Let's invite everybody to help the kids get a good start this school year by joining the fun Saturday 10 to 2 at Palace in Capitola on 41st Avenue for Stuff the Bus.
Stuff the bus! Stuff the bus! Stuff the bus!
Palace Art and Office Supply is a proud member of Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz.
Make it your business to see the full lineup of John Deere commercial mowers at RDO Equipment Company. Check out the Z-Track Pro 900 series. The zero-turn mowers that set a new standard for the industry, especially when you combine them with the exclusive 7-iron mulch-on-demand deck. At RDO Equipment Company, we're here to help your business run smoother and to support you after the sale. RDO Equipment Company, 501 El Camino Real South in Salinas and 1320 West Beach Street in Watsonville.
Hi, everyone. It's MZ, the proud owner of this independent radio station, KSCO AM 1080. You know, a lot of my time is spent figuring out innovative ways to keep our great station going and growing. Our staff and personalities do a great job, and they deserve to be recognized and rewarded financially. So here's my new idea. Da-da-da-da! KSCO Team! Yep, KSCO Team. A way for you to buy premium quality health, energy, and skincare products that are good for you and support KSCO, your favorite radio station, and your favorite host or personality all at the same time. If you use a computer, go to KSCOteam.com, check out the favorite products of our hosts, and buy them online. If you don't use a computer, call the KSCO Team telephone hotline at 220-288. That's 222-0288 in area 831, and leave a voicemail so I or one of our hosts can get back to you. Remember, KSCOteam.com or 222-0288.
Don't miss the next exciting Viva Gardens, Sundays at 9 on KSCO.
This is Viva Gardens, your local gardening and outdoor living radio show with Katya, Alex, and Nikki from Nature Elements Landscapes. We specialize in design, construction, and maintenance for your garden. And we have a great show. We're going to talk about
food.
Even
Rufino is excited.
Yep, and then we'll have useless information, obviously. And then we'll have
trivia.
Don't miss Viva Jardines every Sunday at 9 a.m. KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Have you noticed that food just doesn't taste good anymore? Why is that? If you eat food, you'll want to know this. Our fruits, grains, and vegetables contain less and less nutrition every year. Chances are even your organic plants don't have anywhere near the 70-plus minerals that make a plant healthy and delicious. Listen up, home gardeners, farmers, growers, and lovers of good food. This is Andy Anderson telling you that you can go beyond organic. Perk up your plants and revitalize your fields with Bloomin' Minerals from Youngevity. This marvelous soil conditioner will remineralize your soil with up to 76 organically bound earth elements. That means healthier and better looking crops that resist bugs, mold, cold, and other nasties that can wipe you out. Commercial farmers are reporting faster growth, more yield, and higher Brit scores. That means better tasting food for you and me. Get Bloomin' Minerals in powder and liquid form, from a spray bottle for houseplants to 55-gallon drums for professional growers. Call us now to order toll-free, 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Well, since she put me down, I bet I'm doing in my head. I come in late at night, and in the morning I just lay in bed.
And there we have a group of people who sound as if something is standing on their foot, poor folks. Let's hope they get some relief.
Hey, Charlie, this is kind of fun. I mean, we are so diametrically opposed on most things, and yet we get along, and here we are doing a show together from the left and the right.
This is how it should be. This is how it should be. This is one of the things that distresses me most about contemporary politics is I see people, and you've probably seen it too. Well, that person doesn't agree with my politics. I can't be his friend. I can't even associate.
Yeah.
That is garbage. My best friend in this world is a fellow I have known for 40 years. He and I never agree on anything politically, but I'll tell you what, put your arm in fire for that guy. We've got Bill back on the phone again. Let's give it one more try and see if this time he managed to find a landline like a normal person. Hello, Bill.
Charlie, I think this is your equipment.
You may be right.
I called a landline and had no problems at all. As soon as I'm hooked onto your system, when I'm talking to you, I echo. But I can talk to the call lady, no problems.
Uh-huh. Well, Bill Graff needs to know about that. And as a matter of fact, I see him in there scratching his furry head. And perhaps he'll come up with...
Ears are at work.
Thank you, Bill. I tell you, I keep listening, and hopefully we'll be able to get a handle on this.
I really wanted to make a good comment about the debt and the downgrade and how people have responded.
Yes.
But it's interesting, isn't it?
Quite.
Okay. No, left.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Let's go ahead and give this new phone number again. I should inform everybody, under normal circumstances, you probably all memorize the phone number. We have this new equipment, and the phone company, Ma Bell, whatever you want to call them, was unable to port over 479-1080. So if you want to call the program, and we urge you to do so, 713-4277. Once again, 713-4277. I'm informed this number is temporary. It will probably be a few days, couple of weeks, something like that, until the phone company can pull its thumb out and port the regular number over. But for right now, for today on this Saturday special, 713-4277. Now, Brad, the point you were making, back to that, the idea that now, you know, why isn't it possible for people to disagree with one another, but at the same time be able to like and respect each other?
Yeah, I mean, it should be, but part of it is just that name-calling has become de rigueur. I think in the past, politeness was really important in the discussion. People treated each other with respect, and all of a sudden, and maybe I can blame some of it on some talk radio, and people on both sides just decided that name-calling was a appropriate behavior.
You know, it's interesting. I've been reading recently, a lot of Americans have been brushing up on, the era of the founding. And you go back and you read the kind of things that Thomas Jefferson was writing about John Adams or, for that matter, even George right. Washington here and there. Political rocks, I mean serious rocks and brickbats, nothing new here in America.
No, you're right. But was it done with respect back then?
Sometimes the comments that were made and the insults that were hurled were pretty doggone serious.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can grab another phone call. Chris is calling from Salinas on line one. Chris, you're on KSCO, I hope.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah, we got you. We got you. And, once again, Bill, it sounds kind of like he's underwater. Go ahead, Chris. Please make your point. Whoop. He dropped off. Okay, let's
wait before you take the next phone call. I'm going to do something else.
Okay, so Bill's going to try working a little
Starship
bit of magic
Enterprise here. We got Scotty working on the board. He's yeah. trying to beam us up.
I cannot
make
do
everything
it.
Work
I
out.
I cannot do it, Captain. There's no time. Okay, let's see if we've got. Looks like we've got a call on line one. So let's go ahead and grab that and find out if we get lucky. Nope. Nope.
Hello?
Is somebody,
yeah, there's somebody.
Hello there. May I have your first name?
Yeah, this is RC in Aptos.
Hello, RC. You sound good. Go ahead, please.
Oh, do I? You know, I have my radio on. Is it interfering?
It's a good idea to turn it off just
on. Turn it. The girlfriend, the loyal girlfriend, is going to turn it on.
Outstanding. The girlfriend, that was a great Broadway show about 1926.
I just used her name. She's not too happy about that. Anyways, good discussion today. My point that I want to bring up is the downgrading of our debt essentially means that we have a debt problem. That's what sends the message to the world, is that we have a debt problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the world didn't know we had a debt problem by now, they must have been in a coma for the last 30 years.
Well, I'd say that you can extend that one step further. If we didn't know we had a debt problem, although the thing is that it's like any other malady. Over the past 2.5 years, it has gotten worse by a quantum magnitude.
Yeah, and it's understandable as to why. That Congress, you would think, would be more inclined to do something about national debt as a result of this. But I don't see anybody rushing to implement any reform.
I do.
As a result.
I do.
Of this.
I do.
You do?
Yes, I certainly do. I see some people rushing to implement reforms, but not enough. I see people like Paul Ryan rushing to implement reforms. And indeed, Paul Ryan did propose a budget which passed the House earlier this year, which would have met the $4 trillion figure that Standard & Poor's says they would have liked to have seen to not go through this downgrade. But this budget, this proposal, is not universally loved. The president doesn't like it, and the Democrats in the Senate don't like it, so it didn't pass.
I know you're talking about the Ryan plan, mm-hmm. but you have to understand that the Ryan plan, as I see it, was based on politics. Remember, Paul Ryan was on the Obama bipartisan commission to reduce our national debt.
Yes, he was.
And when the rubber hit the road, he backed out. He looked at those reforms that Alan Simpson and Erskine Bowles put together, and he thought he must have thought to himself, "Oh my God, what was I thinking?"
No, I don't
and
think that. Rather, instead, what he said, he did not back out. He simply voted against. You know, when the final vote was taken, he voted no. But he didn't. He was on the commission. The thing is,
he backed out of the recommendation.
Well, yes, and there were other people on that commission who did so too. And that brings us back to your point a few moments ago. You said the whole thing is political. Yes, indeed, it is on both sides.
The problem is that Paul Ryan was a big fish, was a big player and the reforms. And understand, Barack, for the liberals out there, Barack Obama put together the commission and had the same reaction. Oh, my God, what was I thinking?
Now, here is a good question for you. You criticize Mr. Ryan for being part of the commission and then at the end of the day voting against their reforms. This is true. Would you also criticize Mr. Obama for having actually brought the commission into being, and then once its reforms were presented, Mr. Obama hasn't touched them?
Rewind the tape. You'll just hear me say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Both of those guys could have been big players if they had got together and formed a team of Ryan and Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting that bipartisan commission. I think, and I'm not sure you'd agree with me, but I think it would have been a formidable team if they would have backed that commission together.
Well, as it is, though.
And stood in lockstep together.
See, once again,
I don't know if those reforms would have passed as a result, but still, those guys would have been able to say, you know, it's not my stuff. It's that Congress and the liberals and the Tea Party that are blocking the reforms necessary for us to get our economy and at least the national debt on the right track.
Let me throw out something to both of you guys, though, too. If you look at the report, debt was one side of it, but there was another side that we haven't talked about, and it's probably ultimately more important, and that is productivity. No sign that America is heading in the right direction for jobs. So what in any of these plans is promoting and producing new jobs?
There's nothing that can be done to produce new jobs in the private sector until the next thing. This is the way I understand it. This isn't written in stone.
You're a smart guy. I like what you're saying. Yeah, go ahead.
There's nothing that I know of that is going to promote jobs in the private sector. The private sector, of course, drives the economy. And we have a bubble economy. You know, admit it or not, it's a bubble economy. We had a tech bubble, and we saw manufacturing. And a lot of business that revolved around that tech bubble, and we had a lot of jobs as a result.
Let's go back a little to the 30s. Charlie, you remember that. Maybe.
Absolutely. Bread lines were rough.
What did FDR do to stimulate the economy? It wasn't just the private sector. It was government that came up with projects and got people working again.
Yes,
why are we not doing that?
But let's remember one thing. In 8 years, Mr. Roosevelt did not end the Depression. So as we look back at the measures that Franklin Delano Roosevelt took, we have to understand that they were of limited effectiveness. Our caller is correct. The government can't do anything to create jobs, but I would suggest that there's a lot the government could do to stop holding down
the creation of jobs. I think the government can create jobs. This is the first myth you guys are saying.
The only way the government can create jobs is by hiring people.
Exactly.
Now, if the government hires people, they have to pay them. They pay them from government money, which is either tax revenue or borrowed money. So at the end of the day, somebody has to either pay the taxes or supply the loans that enables the government to pay the people it hires.
Right, but let's look at the whole process. So you do start. You take this money, for example, that they gave to the banks, right, in the bailout,
mm-hmm.
and you put it toward projects. Let's say a train system across the country, high-speed rail, other countries.
That nobody will ride.
No, what about freight? Let's put freight on a train system across the country and start replacing trucking, okay, or something like that, where things are useful. And that's just one thing. I mean, I remember
who's going to benefit from a new freight system? Who's going to benefit?
All of us,
it will be welfare for the well-off. The people who will benefit are people
who need their ownership on. Well, you can say that about anything. For example, the Hoover Dam. I mean, on and on. The point is, you get a project going like that, funded by the government. What happens to the people who start getting paid? They start spending money. What happens then? The private sector starts to build on that spent money because the services they're providing can be paid for.
But it's circular. Once again, if it's government work, the government people have to be paid, and you get that money either from the people or from borrowing. Listen, we've got to take a quick break. It's 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. I have some people on the line. Thank you for the previous caller. We appreciate hearing from you. We're going to be talking with Chris from Salinas coming up next. Right now, it is not time for a break. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take another call.
Anyway, I think it primes the pump. That's all I'm going to say. The government can start that way. Why did they give the money to the banks then?
It may, but it didn't last time. Hello, Chris from Salinas. Welcome to KSCO.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're both swell.
Good. I'm having trouble trying to discern the theme of your program today. I'm a little bit confused here.
Okay, well, I can help you with that. Basically, the big news was Standard & Poor's announcement last night that they were downgrading our public debt. And Mr. Kava and I, when he came in, both said, hey, this is the big news. Let's talk about it. And, of course, that leads to all of these other things.
Okay. Well, you know, the United States of America is so much in debt and so far, so buried in debt that this is going to, we're going to go the way of Argentina in the 1970s. You know, we're going to have a lot of inflation. And we're going to have to devalue the dollar significantly. In fact, the devaluation of the dollar, in my opinion, is the reason that gasoline is $4 a gallon. Because mm-hmm. the people that sell us the gasoline, the oil, the crude oil, mm-hmm. Can't afford to pay us.
Well, you know, you make a good point. And we just saw, I guess yesterday or so, U.S. debt now has gone past 100% of GDP. In other words, our gross domestic product is $14.3 trillion, and we now owe that much. The piece in the paper that I read said, well, this hasn't happened since 1947. It develops that back at that time we had debt equal to over 100% of GDP, and we recovered from that quite nicely. So I suggest that the mere fact that we have debt at 100% of GDP does not mean that we need to start letting out a vein. What we need to do is look back at what we did say in 1947 or 1982, the last time we had a serious recession, and start getting a little smarter.
Smarter how? I mean, we are going into debt so far, so deep, so fast that it's quite unbelievable to me. And I'm a recovering Republican. I'm no longer a Republican, but I just cannot believe that this country has gone into such gigantic debt so quickly. And it's not all Obama's fault. And for the first time in my life, I voted for a Democratic president, Barack Obama. I've been a Reagan Republican since 1980. And I don't understand how the, well, I.
Well, if you, you're, you said you voted, look, Chris, you voted for Reagan back then. Reagan came into office. We had a horrible recession from which we recovered quite nicely. And then we embarked on a period of 25 years of virtually uninterrupted growth. Obviously, Reagan did something right. Mr. Obama's policies have been the antithesis of Mr. Reagan's. I would suggest to you, sir, that you had it right before and that what you should do is return to what worked.
Well, one could then argue you should follow Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton left us with the surplus that George Bush peed away.
Mr. Clinton signed on to a balanced budget package that was passed by the Congress in 1995 and in 5 years did bring us to a balanced budget. You are absolutely right. But I think we can all see Mr. Obama and Mr. Clinton do not sing from the – they're both Democrats, but not all Democrats are the same, just not all Republicans are the same.
Yes, and I voted against Bill Clinton and didn't like him. I was a Clinton hater for the first 2 years of his administration. However, it seems like the economy just went in high gear. Mm-hmm. It just really went well.
But some of it was mythical. As the previous caller said, it was a bubble economy. And this is, I'm a Clinton supporter.
Not all of it.
The whole internet bubble propelled more spending and more investment from foreign countries into America.
It did, and it came out a net plus, even in spite of the fact that the dot-com burst did happen. Nobody's denying that. But overall, there was a positive effect from that at the end of the day. And what Mr. Clinton succeeded in doing was correcting himself in midstream, and he did such a wonderful job of it, he was able to be handily reelected and turn the country over to his successor with, as you pointed out, a budget surplus. But again, Mr. Clinton and Mr. Obama do not sing from the same hymn book at all.
Well, the real trouble is, and if you want to get into the basics, that is, the more successful we are in terms of technology, the less jobs we'll have. The mark of technology and the path of technology is to get rid of the labor force.
That was
to make
whole,
things more efficient.
By golly, that's exactly why people in France used to throw their shoes into machines, you know, sabotage. It's why the Luddites came along in England and said, let's sabotage all these mills. The thing that you're ignoring, and the 800-pound gorilla in the room, is that all of those machines and things led not to fewer jobs but to more and to a tremendously raised productivity. It's a growing pie. And the fact, I've had people call in and ask me on my program, well, these jobs we've lost to overseas and jobs have gone away, what's bringing those jobs back? And I've said, in most cases, nothing. And that's a good thing. We will create other jobs doing other things, many of which from here in 2011, I can't tell you what they'll be.
But here is the problem, and you're right. We agree on this to an extent. And that is, if we're not educating people to be able to handle those new jobs, then we're going to be in trouble. We are going to be a service economy.
I agree.
What's the first thing they cut in every budget? Education. So I really worry about that on all sides.
Well, right now, having been in the education system for a while, I can tell you that more money is not the answer to it, for God's sake.
Well, I'll tell you, less money isn't the answer either. Because
maybe we ought to budget about the same and ask that the teachers actually teach something other than lesbian and gay history.
No. I'm talking about our community colleges. I'm talking about the places people go to get retooled right now, the higher education system, and that's the only place they can go to get new ideas, new jobs.
You know, Brad, if they weren't, community colleges weren't having to spend so much of their time doing remedial English and remedial math, they'd have more assets available to do what you're talking about. It's up to our K through 12 schools to do their jobs. As soon as you get that, then your community colleges have so many assets they can open up for doing what you've just
suggested.
But once
again, as you see, but I mean, they cut it. They cut it on all levels. It's the first thing.
Yeah, and why would that be? Well, it's because people see that it's not being productive. People aren't doing a good job, and so people are hesitant to spend more money on it.
I disagree. I think it's a kind of productivity you don't see immediately. There's no way to measure. Sorry.
Hi, Chris.
Okay, guys. Well, listen, I'm just very concerned as a 50-year-old individual that used to own a business. I was a middleman. Mm-hmm. I owned a dealership. I sold products that, doesn't really matter. But the problem is, how can the United States of America, as a net debtor nation, how in the world can we climb out of this incredible debt hole that we have created? I mean, when I was in high school,
Chris,
$1 billion.
Okay, you asked the question. Here's one thing I can tell you, and Brad, you'll bear me out on this. The United States of America was a debtor nation for the first 130 years of its existence. What changed that was World War I, when European countries fighting the Great War borrowed a lot of money from us, and we became a creditor nation for the very first time. This nation put together an entire industrial revolution, became a modern power as a debtor nation. So the mere fact that we owe money is not in itself any kind of a disqualifier. The question is, how do we manage our economy? 713-4277. Thank you very much, Chris, for the call. 713-4277 is the number. And do we need to... Oh, my God, evidently there's no sponsorship of today's program. Well, let's hope there's a few listeners out there. Do you want to take a call from Billy Sunshine? I'm sure he'll...
my friend.
I'm sure he'll bear out everything you say. Hello, Billy. You're on KSCO.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Well, I wanted to answer you the question about why we can't have these political differences without animosity.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Well, people that I find on the other side of me are not nice people. They're mean. They want to hurt people, things like that. So let's take a look at a few examples of that.
Oh, good Lord.
We don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, Billy.
But you wanted an answer to your question.
Yeah, and I would suggest, sir, that you take a good look in the mirror. Look at how you just began your presentation by saying that people on the other side from you are essentially bad people. If you believe that and you feel that way, then how in the hell do you expect to have any kind of a civil discourse with them, sir? It is, you know, where you what you see depends on where you stand, and where you stand is in the wrong place. I don't feel that. You haven't heard where I stand yet. You're interested in the examples I wanted to give you right away.
Charlie, let him finish. Let him finish.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It ought to be good for a laugh.
Go ahead, Billy.
It ought to be good for a laugh. You get? This is why I don't like the other side, because they're what we call a-holes.
Yeah, go, Billy. Go, Billy. Prove my point.
I'm doing it. Can you shut up long enough?
Oh, you bet.
Come on, Billy. Be civil. You're smarter than that. Come on.
Nah, he's not.
I am smarter than that. So, you know, on the other side, I find people, for example, who would deny people who have their unemployment running out the next dollar, no more unemployment. If you're done your unemployment and you haven't found a job, some people would say, well, now you'll get to work. Some others would say, now you'll move into your car. And I'm not really finding those people nice when it comes to talk about health. I find one side is constantly trying to scare people and lie to people about what the health thing holds. I mean, that's it. On one side, we find literally cruelty. One side worries about the very richest people and says, let's give more money to the rich. And while we're doing that, let's take it away from the people who need it most. You know, it's really hard to like people like that. Selfish people are hard to like. Mean people are hard to like. People who make special deals with companies like Enron and arrange for them to screw California and get away with it. But there's nothing likable about that.
Okay.
Hey, Billy, let me, just for argument's sake, too, I mean, I'm on your side of these things, but our side's pretty bad, too, when it comes to name-calling and brickbats and this and that, right?
But we're not hurting anybody. I pull your names all day long. What I'm not doing is forcing people out of their homes.
Well, Charlie's about – I want to see him take off. We're going to launch him from
– This is just so specious. My gracious golly. You know, it sounds, Billy, as if – and you're not alone in this. I hear so many people, they seem to be arguing that somehow – you know, the good government is the one that holds everybody harmless, that nothing bad will ever happen. I call it utopianism. It's what drove Mr. Obama's healthcare program. He wasn't about reducing costs. That's what he said. But the real goal, and occasionally he admitted this too, the real goal was universality, to cover everybody. And unfortunately, that is impractical. It costs too much money. You're asking for some kind of government that holds everyone harmless from bad luck, bad fortune, etc. Frankly, I have had times in my life when it looked as if I might wind up living in my car. Hey.
Now I'll try to say what I'm saying as opposed to your telling my story. No, I don't ask to be held harmless. What I expect from the government is that we take what society needs most and we help achieve that. That's what you do. You know, those socialistic programs like fire, police department, the things where it makes sense to share. There are some of us, I mean, look at this Tea Party people. Mm-hmm. They literally were willing to stand there and say, let's see how much we can do. Literally destroy the country's economics because we're so selfish. When you come to me and you want to have a negotiation, and when we're taking less money than we've ever taken in 50 years, and you say to me, no, we must take money from the neediest because I don't want to, we will not add another piece of revenue. When you go to make a deal with me that doesn't include getting rid of the tax benefits that the richest company in the known universe is taking, you're not dealing fairly. Why would I like you? Why wouldn't I dislike you for being a bully or a friend of the bully?
Well, Billy, you've just come up with something there that I think may actually prove to be the solution to this whole thing. When you speak against tax benefits for people who really oughtn't to have them, I take your hand. I agree with that. And I look back Well, that was not a matter of tax reform. That was a matter of just tax increases. What we need to do is the same thing that was done back in 1986 by a divided Congress and come up with a tax reform bill that essentially sweeps away this underbrush of tax preferences that, as you quite clearly state, tend to devolve toward the wealthier and more well-to-do among us, and go to fair taxes, flatter taxes, lower taxes, and thereby increase the amount of money coming into the Treasury. It's a win-win situation. And incidentally,
that's just true. When you talk about lower taxes somehow being good for the country, I mean, that's the big lie. For example, there's $1 trillion that are held by corporations that they owe us in tax.
Do you suggest we should simply confiscate that money?
As opposed to give them a tax holiday? Yes, I do.
I don't. I don't propose a tax holiday. In this instance, what you pointed out, American corporations are now sitting. You said a trillion. It's closer to $2 trillion that American companies are sitting on. It's not a matter of they owe tax on it. They're literally sitting on it. I suggest, Billy, that you should be asking, well, why would they do that? What is it that government is doing that
motivates? Are you familiar with the concept of greed and the concept of writing laws so that the greedy people can get away with murder? That's what the tax code is. It's special deals for whomever wants to harm the Americans the most that year. It used to be, well, it was the cigarette company. So they're the ones who paid Congress. You look at where the money flows in this country, and you'll find that whoever wants to damage America most just buys a few congressmen. There will be never be another truth-telling law as long as we live. You think that people are getting salmonella now? Wait for a few more years of Citizens United putting money up against anyone who actually wants us not to be poisoned.
You know, Billy, one thing that you've got to bear in mind, and I don't know if you ever think about this or not, but in your perorations, is these people want to damage America, they want to hurt the country. That's what a lot of people in the Tea Party think about you. And you know what? They're wrong, and so are you. It's not about the number of people in America, the number of Americans who are actually intentionally trying to damage this nation, it would fit into a thimble.
But it's a matter
of people seeing different answers to our problems. That's why Brad and I can converse about this, and neither of us winds up throwing pies at the other.
Not yet, anyway. But I will say this, and that is that I really do believe these Tea Party people and this whole holdup of the government was unpatriotic and hurt us more than any war we've been in.
I would remind you, when the final vote came, there were 66 Republicans, obdurate conservatives, who said, we can't vote for this bill. There were 95 obdurate Democrats. So let's wear the hat equally. And in this particular instance, 3/4 of the Republicans voted yes, only half of the Democrats did. So if you want to start splitting hairs and saying, who was more on the right side, I don't want to play that game. All I know is, at the end of the day, enough of both sides got together to pass a bill, and it's still Standard & Poor's says, well, it wasn't enough. Well, I'm telling you, right now with divided government, it's as much as we could get.
But had it been the other way, let's look at it this way. In terms of the name-calling and the media, had it been the other way, the other side would have called them unpatriotic and forced them, as they did in 1993 and in 2002, to fight a war that they didn't necessarily want to fight, by calling them unpatriotic if they didn't support the president. I think had Barack Obama launched that campaign to say that these people are going to damage America, as is what happened, the ball would have rolled a different way.
Well, I guess we'll never know, but I tend to disagree with you because, first of all, I contest your standing that people were called unpatriotic.
Oh, please, come on. Well, let's go to 2002, especially. If you didn't wear your flag lapel, you were called unpatriotic. If you questioned the president.
Not by me, and not by, you will never hear anything in George W. Bush's rhetoric that suggested people who didn't go along with him were somehow not good Americans.
Oh, please.
There were
people, he had his vice president.
Even Mr. Dick Cheney did not come out and say something the order of, if you're not in agreement with us, you're not a good American.
And he had Rupert Murdoch say it.
And let me go on the record right now as saying anybody who takes that ground is just completely beyond the pale. I don't talk that way. I never have, and I have no sympathy with anybody who does.
But the public discourse at that time, Charlie, if you remember, there were people in San Francisco protesting the war, right? And I heard Rush Limbaugh and everybody on the Fox News Channel, including Bill O'Reilly, saying we should boycott the Dixie Chicks, not buy the products of people who don't support the war, on and on.
That was the mainstream discourse. I only boycott the Dixie Chicks because I can't stand their music. Well, but then again, I boycott everybody else, too, so I'm an equal opportunity boycotter.
I'm not blaming you, but I'm blaming the whole rhetoric of the times. And let's put it where it is, Fox News was the start of where that stuff was coming from.
The evil Fox News. It's
absolutely
20 seconds remain until 10 o'clock. Michael Zwirling has decided to grace us with his presence, and during the second
you guys did a great job. Let me quickly tell people
you've got 10 seconds.
We have wonderful bumper stickers that we want to pass out starting today, so people should come on down. There's another reason for them to come down. They can buy Kay's book. She's here. So anyhow, that's it. Right here at KSCO Santa Cruz.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. A shock from Afghanistan, where more than two dozen Americans have been killed in a helicopter crash.
This is the single deadliest day for American troops in Afghanistan since the start of the war nearly 10 years ago. Now, the military is not officially saying anything other than confirming that there was a helicopter crash just southwest of Kabul in Wardak province. This is an area where there has been a lot of insurgent activity for many, many years. Now, according to Afghan officials, though, 31 soldiers or troops were killed. We believe that they were mostly or if not all from the Navy SEALs, including some from SEAL Team 6. This is, of course, the group that launched the raid into Pakistan that got Osama bin Laden just a few months ago. We also do know that there were some Afghan commandos also on the chopper.
Fox's Connor Powell in Kabul. The Taliban now claiming responsibility for the shootdown of that helicopter. And the AP says none of the Navy SEALs who died actually participated in the bin Laden raid. European Union leaders now calling for talks to coordinate action among the G7 industrialized nations' central banks. This, according to the AP, following several days of market panic and last night's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating by Standard & Poor's, the implications of which are still sinking in here.
Markets and, you know, the financial world a lot of times is based on feel. It's based on optimism and what people are thinking, what they're feeling, what their hunches are, what their guts are. And once you have something go out there that says, look, you know, you're not a triple A rating, you're a double A plus, that causes big problems. And, you know, there was some consternation, you know, on Friday where they were saying, well, wait a minute, you know, if S&P goes forward on this, even if it's wrong, we can't put the genie back in the bottle. Whether it's warranted or not, the genie is way out of the bottle.
Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. China, the largest holder of U.S. debt, now calling for the U.S. to slash its, quote, gigantic military expenditure and bloated social welfare costs. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
When you're on the go and need to know, you can be in touch with Fox News Radio live, anytime, anyplace. You can skip back in time for up to 2 hours, listen to free podcasts, keep up to date with the very latest scrolling news headlines, or listen to the latest news. Whether you're an iPhone, iPod Touch, or Android phone user, access Fox News Radio now at mobile.foxnewsradio.com. Mobile.foxnewsradio.com. Don't be caught with your apps down.
Nobody ever said it would be easy. It takes drive, determination. This is about effort, not excuses. It's making a better life. This is guts. Hard work, because we never quit. This is realizing a dream. This is business in America. This is Fox Business.
A convicted ringleader of detainee abuses at Iraq's now-closed Abu Ghraib prison has been released from the Fort Leavenworth military prison in Kansas. 42-year-old Charles Grainer served more than 6.5 years. Texas continuing to deal with the twin troubles of long-term drought and excessive heat. Dallas among the areas in the heart of the rupture.
We're already at 35 days in a row of temps above 100 degrees. Next 5 days, looking like that, 106, 107 the entire time. 42 days is the record of amount of consecutive days we've seen above 100, and I think likely we're going to break that. It would be next Friday, so we'll continue to watch that.
Fox meteorologist Reich Muth. So far this year, Texas has had just 40% of its normal rainfall. In Houston, Texas Governor Rick Perry hosting a National Day of Prayer gathering at Reliance Stadium, which seats perhaps nine times as many people as has signed up for the gathering.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen.
Perry, a potential GOP presidential candidate, saying the event isn't meant to be political at all. The entire 20-man police force in one town in northern Mexico quits en masse over intimidation from drug cartel gunmen.
The last straw came when cartel gunmen shot dead three municipal police officers this week in the town of Ascension in Chihuahua State, bordering Texas. Back in May, the police chief and two other officers were kidnapped and murdered. Mexico's President Felipe Calderon's campaigning to scrap municipal police, which he says are highly vulnerable, and create a national force, but this has been blocked by opposition parties in Congress. In the 5 years of Mexico's drug war, more than 500 police officers have been murdered. In Mexico, James Blears, Fox News Radio.
On the second day of the British Big Chill Music Festival, a tribute to the late Amy Winehouse, her 15-year-old goddaughter, Dionne Bromfield, with a half-hour set that closed with Winehouse's Love is a Losing Game. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Got the morning clouds, then mostly sunny with a high of 70 today. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 54. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And it looks like Sunday we're going to have some clouds early, then mostly sunny with a high of 69. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds are 10 knots. They're going to increase to 10 to 15 knots this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet, with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Tonight out there, west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, mixed swell west 3 to 5 feet at 8 seconds, and south 3 feet at 14 seconds. And on Sunday, the west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. I've also got some current temperatures here for you. Looks like we've got Salinas at 59 degrees, and in Watsonville it's 58. In Monterey, it's 58, and we are at 59 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. For your KSEO King of the Hill traffic update, I have a few things to report here. There was at 10:50 a traffic hazard reported at Gross Road and Rodeo Gulch, and there's not much information on it right now, but CHP is on the way there. See what the traffic hazard is. Also, there at 10:07, there was a traffic collision on northbound 1 at Salinas Road. That's northbound 1 at Salinas Road. Ambulance is responding. Looks like it was a two-car crash, and there are children in the vehicle. So we've got the CHPs on the scene, ambulance on its way. And that's all I got for you. 475-1080 if you see something that I missed. Other than that, we're going to tell you the official time is 11:07 and 18 seconds on this Saturday, August 6th. Up next, we got the second hour Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Hey, it's me. Remember me?
Oh, yeah, there you are. Man.
I finally made it. It's not as if I haven't been here for most of the last hour.
Yeah, that's
true. But the guys were doing such a good job that, you know, it just wouldn't have made sense. It just would have been nothing but an ego trip on my part to go in and pull the rug out. Anyhow, I want to thank Charlie Friedman and Brad Cava, both great hosts and wonderful assets to the radio station. You in particular, Nikki, thank you so much for the hour before last,
yes.
Which I think was pretty challenging.
Very.
Was I right or was I right on the promo about never? We're going to have some even better technical difficulties than we've ever had. Was I right?
You were right.
I was right. Okay. Now
it
what
was
we
fantastic.
Need to do? What we need to do now, since we didn't officially open hour number one nor hour number two, is we're going to do them both. Now. Bear with us, Dick in Santa Cruz, Suzette in Monterey, Tommy in Seaside, Ed in Aptos, and Phil in Santa Cruz. Not necessarily in that order. We will get to your phone calls, and it's going to be right after we start the program and right after we keep to the format by having the latest K's commentary. So,
and what's that new number again?
Here's the deal. The new number is, and it's just a temporary new number, 713-4277. I believe that's a local exchange, so it shouldn't be a long distance call for anybody. Okay. Now, if it's easier for you to remember, okay, you can try 477-1340, our old Comey call-in phone number, if you want to do that, because we just that's part of the reason why I didn't come on is because I was figuring out how to make that number go to this one. Either number, 477-1340 or 713-4277 will work. But now, let's officially open the program.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today you know. On KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and KSCO.com worldwide. It's MZ welcoming you to the Saturday special, an historic Saturday special, the maiden voyage of our brand spanking new digital talk studio. Oh my God, this never happens. It never has. A very historic day. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 1 hour, okay?
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
We have a brand new state-of-the-art digital talk studio at KSCO, the result of years of planning and months of building and tweaking by KSCO engineering gurus Bill Graff and Richard B. Luther II. All of us at the station are so excited we're ready to burst. And I don't mean pollen burst, but you should buy that by going to kscoteam.com. But I digress. Back to the new studio. It's very, 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 very technical. But don't worry. We will continue to have the same excellent technical difficulties we've always had that you have come to love and cherish. Only from now on, they will be even better. Trust me. We will launch the maiden voyage of our new studio on, you guessed it, the KSCO Special, with Charlie Friedman and Brad Kava to join me in the festivities this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on This Is So Special. We will celebrate by relaxing our longstanding rule prohibiting stupid people from listening, but only for this very special event radio, AM 1080 KSCO. And we would like to welcome the stupid people listening for the first time here on AM 1080 KSCO. We've had a long-standing rule prohibiting such action, but as I said, in honor of the special event today, we're relaxing, at least for this program, and depending upon feedback we get from the audience, we might actually extend it a little bit, allow stupid people to listen. And on Charlie's show last night, a caller called in and said, why not relax it, you know, indefinitely so that the stupid people can become smart people? And there's a lot of that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Brad Kava and Charlie Friedman are guests in the studio today. And we're going to use hour number two to inaugurate the new studio and get calls from all people who have been waiting, and we're going to start moving through pretty quickly, but we have to start hour number two officially. We just have to start hour number two. Here it is, because it is hour number two.
Hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
Okay, it wouldn't be the Saturday special if we didn't have both the opening and the closing, okay? So it's did them all together.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
Okay, we're going to get to the phone calls right after the latest Kay's commentary. By the way, Kay is here at the studio today, as are a big pile of KSCO bumper stickers that say listen and be heard. They're very, very tasteful. We'd love for you to come on down and help us spread the word to everybody who follows you and sees your bumper. That KSCO is a really, really unique radio station, and by putting one of our bumper stickers on that we should have had for the last 20 years, but we've better late than never, right? Come on down and pick up your copy of the bumper sticker if you want. You can meet Kay. You can meet all of us here at the radio station if you want. And it's a little crazy today, but what the heck. You can pick up your copy of Listen and Be Heard bumper sticker, KSCO AM 1080. If you want, you can purchase a copy of Kay's book. For KSCO, I am Kay's Whirling. And now, here is her latest commentary.
The following is an encore presentation of an earlier Kay commentary and appears in her new book. Here is Kay's Whirling.
I wrote it at least a decade ago, and this topic has not changed much. About the International Court of Justice, because it is blatantly biased, it is a court of injustice. The International Court of Injustice states that Israel has no right to self-defense. With more than 20,000 attacks on its people in less than 4 years, with nearly 1,000 deaths by suicide bombers, the court has declared open season on Jews. Will the decree stop the building of the fence around Israel? Hell no. If the Palestinian Authority will not stop the bombers, the Israeli people will. by attacking them before they get to Israel and by keeping them out. This is how you fight terrorism. Now, here are some facts about the Middle Eastern conflict. Number one, Israel became a nation in 1312 BCE, 2,000 years before the rise of Islam. Two, Arab refugees began identifying themselves as part of the Palestinian people in 1967, two decades after the establishment of the modern state of Israel. Three, the Arabs are represented by eight separate nations, not including the so-called Palestinians. There is only one Jewish nation. The eight Arab nations initiated all five wars and lost. Israel defended itself each time and won. 4. The PLO's charter still calls for the destruction of Israel. Now, in 2011, as we speak, Iran is busy planning for the annihilation of Israel. The haters never stop. Israel has given the Palestinians most of the West Bank land and autonomy under the Palestinian Authority. Big mistake. Number 5. In 1948, the Israeli Arabs left Israel expecting to return after the eight nations won their initiated wars against Israel. But all that never happened because the Arab nations prefer to use the refugees as political pawns. So, for me, an American Jewess, it's a sad fact that anti-Semitism is an incurable social disease, and for the most part, Israel stands very much alone in the world of public opinion, except for the support of our United States, world Jewry, and perhaps some fair-minded world citizens. Currently, we must exclude our present leader, Barack Obama, who is the first American president to refuse to support Israel. Obama is planning for the destruction of Israel by demanding it go back to the 1967 borders. In Israel's search for peace, to paraphrase Golda Meir, one of the earlier prime ministers of the modern state of Israel, she said, "I can forgive many things, however, forced to defend ourselves for our own survival, I can never forgive that in order to defend ourselves, our sons are forced to become killers." For KSCO, this is Kay Zwirling.
For KSCO, that was Kay Zwirling. And for KSCO, this is, someone needs to show me how to put someone on the telephone. Can you do that, Charlie? Because it's time to do that. I just have one mouse here.
Which
and no one
should.
I want to take the one who's been on the longest. That would be Tommy and Seaside,
number
actually,
three.
Okay?
Go down here to number three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Oh, it's right on the board.
You press right here.
Okay.
You see it says on air.
Yeah.
You bring him up right here and say, hello, Tommy.
Hello, Tommy. Hello, Tommy.
Charlie?
No, it's MZ. Well, Charlie? Charlie was there, but yeah.
Oh, it's MZ.
Yeah, it's only MZ just learning how to use the board. But Charlie, put your headphones on so Tommy can hear Tommy because he's addressing you. Go ahead, Tommy, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, you know, You Two Intellectuals, which was the second book that I read of Paul Johnson's.
Yes, yes.
By the way, Charlie. The first one was The Modern Times.
You've picked two wonderful books.
And the last one I finished was A Necessary Evil.
Mm.
Gary Wills. No relation to George Wills.
No, I'm familiar with Gary Wills. I have read some of his books, but I haven't read that one.
Well, he tears the Constitution up pretty good. And I think there are two things that I could live by.
And then I dropped line three.
All right, I don't know what's going on here, but thank you for calling Tommy in Seaside. Now Suzette in Monterey, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, can you hear me? Okay,
hear you just fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi guys. The reason I was calling, a couple things compelled me to call this morning. First of all, my husband is pretty smart, and he does a lot of financial and business analyst. He's a financial and business analyst. He does a lot of that on his own. And he, last week when the sell-off was occurring, he said, I wonder what's going on if this is happening. And then, of course, Friday after the markets closed, Moody's downgraded. I guess it was Moody's that downgraded.
Standard and Poor's.
It was S&P, yeah.
Okay, so the S&P downgraded our credit rating.
Right.
And he said, well, those are all the insiders that sold off last week because they knew this was coming.
That's possible.
Opinion, and it made perfect sense to me. He said, and there are a lot of people that know who the insiders are, and they just follow them. And whatever they do, they'll do. And that'll keep happening next week. And a lot of them have gone short. And I think a lot of you guys can explain to people what that is. But they will make a lot of money as this market falls. So that's one thing. That's just what's happening. That I think makes a lot of sense. The other thing I wanted to just comment on was how important this venue is to develop community. Americans understand that we need to unite. I do not believe there is a Democratic or Republican party. I think that bankers are running the show, and this is evidence of it. And the people that we have loaned money to are not happy with the warmongering. This whole thing about the debt drama and suggesting that the only way to cut spending was to cut off people that have paid into Social Security, are not receiving Social Security as an entitlement, but people that have paid Medicare insurance, have paid Social Security, and for people that really need it that are disabled, for them to take a hit while we go warmongering with however many bases there are, what, 130 bases, this trillions of dollars that is spent, you know, around the world, not spreading democracy. By the way, why would we? We are a constitutional republic, not a democracy. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. I think Thomas Jefferson said.
you're right. Direct democracy only can take place in a neighborhood level where people can actually come together, look each other in the eye. What we have is a representative democracy. There's a big difference. But one thing that you mentioned, that the expenditure of, quote, trillions of dollars, Mr. Bush's entire Iraq adventure, which lasted, what, 6.5, 7 years, cost just about the same amount of money as Mr. Obama's one stimulus bill. That was $850 billion, almost a trillion. That's what we spent on the whole Iraq war over a period of 6 years. So both sides can point at the other and say, hey, you wasted money. At this point, the idea of fixing the blame doesn't seem to be nearly as attractive as fixing the problem.
Well, that is why I am working very diligently to help Ron Paul, because of everyone in Washington. He is the one person whose platform has not changed over the last 30 years. He said when he ran in 2000 for the 2008 election that this was going to happen, and he was ridiculed.
I'm sorry, I must have, something must have happened here, so.
What you need to do is quit playing with the board there.
Yeah, all righty. Okay, yeah, need a little train. Anyway, we got other callers here, so let's bring Dick.
She made some wonderful.
Yeah, I thought she was good, too.
Okay, Suzette, we
have smart callers on this station.
Dick in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special.
Yeah, hey, Mike, you guys are talking about Standard & Poor and why they downgraded. I mean, they kind of telegraphed that a long time ago. And, you know, you were talking, you know, they wanted $4 trillion in cuts. That's why they did it. So they want to keep their reputation. Then they cut the rating. Mm-hmm. And then you were questioning, like, who's controlling them?
Service on Fox News Radio.
Oh. That's okay.
Take Fox News down there, Mike.
I did.
You were questioning, like, How could they do this? They got it wrong. The White House is saying they got it wrong. Well, I don't think they got it wrong, and I think they're, they're just, it's a globalist economy, just like Wall Street is a globalist economy, mm-hmm. and all stock markets, anticipated that we were not going to cut $4 trillion, and so that's, I think that's what happened. My other comment was, you were talking about, just like the White House has taught it, and just like Charlie always repeats the, not to say he's repetitive, but the idea of innovation and education and jobs, and who needs, manufacturing jobs. We have the service sector. We have green jobs. We have nanotechnology. We have, it goes on and on and on. I would just say that that innovation and new jobs that it's supposed to produce, okay, is going right out the back door, because the R&D has been moving offshore and is moving at a rapid pace offshore because of our general business policies and our tax policies and I hate to say it, the blind, guidance that's going on in the White House. Even though Obama has, I guess it came up in a press conference, something about, patent. He's got to fix the patents. Well, I don't know why this isn't talked about more. It seems like such a big issue. Kay's commentary a couple weeks ago was talking about, the jobs are going and they're not coming back. And the R&D jobs, of course, are all the engineering jobs and the patents. The patent, it's part of a deal. You go overseas, you open up a huge, they're opening up bigger campuses than we've ever imagined in China,
Well, they've got a lot more people than we do.
yeah.
Well, and they steal our technology right and left. And Charlie, I know, is against trade tariffs and things like that, but we charge them nothing for what they give us. And,
oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, 2.5, mild, and yet they charge 25% on anything we ship over there.
You think people
are... That's true. That's true. There is no fair reciprocal trade with some of these countries. And
exactly.
I favor low tariffs. On the other hand, if another country wants to play hardball, there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, do unto others.
I thought you were against all tariffs when we were talking about that regulated trade at other times.
I am. I think they're a terrible idea. The problem is that, you occasionally are dealing with other people who employ terrible ideas. So you can offer a retaliatory tariff. On the other hand, there's even another way of looking at it. Suppose, for example, we do what we're doing. The Chinese send us goods of various kinds, sorts, and descriptions. What do we send them? Pieces of paper with dead presidents on them. Now, we can print a lot of those. So essentially, the Chinese aren't getting the best end of that deal when you look at it in that fashion. And now they also have a treasury full of our debts, so they have a vested interest in making sure that we don't go under, because if we do, the debt they hold suddenly becomes worthless.
And you're right. That's the positive.
Hey, you guys, it is a talk radio program, and you guys are talking, but we've invited callers, and some of them have been waiting for a half hour, so it's time that we go to the callers here. Ed and Aptos, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and Charlie and Brad. You're on the air.
Yeah, we're talking about the debt limit thing, and I never have understood why all these, the records of all the votes on debt, the debt limit, never came, became so contentious. And basically, my understanding of the debt limit, to agree to pay your bills that you've already run up. And, why that proposition of not paying our bills even came onto the table is beyond me. I'd like Charlie to explain that, why we needed to have this argument.
Okay, you've stated a very true thing to begin with. In the past, we've had many, many votes, dozens of them over the years, to increase America's debt limit, and it's never been a big controversial thing before. This is something new and different. So you ask, why should it be? I would submit to you that the situation we find ourselves in today is new and different. We have a serious debt crisis in this country today. And
Wait a second. We're voting on whether we should pay our debts that we've incurred. Now, that should never come up for a vote. If you incur the debts, the problem is you start at the end where you run up the debts and work it from there. But whether to pay your debts or not is shouldn't be up for a vote.
I understand that. The problem is that...
Well, why should it be?
Okay. Last November, the American people elected a number of new members to Congress who are really, really serious about this debt problem. They don't control the government, but they are there with enough votes to make a difference. And they said, look, before we give additional borrowing authority to the federal government, we are going to insist on conditions. We're going to say you can't have more room on your credit card unless you also accept budget discipline. There's nothing really irresponsible about that. And at the end of the day, the budget, the credit limit was lifted. It was lifted before the stated date. The problem is that Standard & Poor's said, well, the solution wasn't big enough. If you look at the political reality in Washington today, you have divided government, you have Republicans in control of one half of Congress, Democrats running the White House and the Senate. We are not going to have that big solution until after the next election. On either side, the American people are going to decide which way this country goes next November. It is a very important election. So I'm counting on you to make sure you vote and vote carefully. But for right now, this is where we are. And it's because the American people elected this president, this Senate, this House, and they happen to be the ones we have right now.
You know, Ed, are you still there? I guess Ed is gone here. All right. Well, let's take our next caller then. Our next caller will be Phil in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday special. Phil, you're on the air.
Hi, do I have enough time before the next break to make my point?
Well, how much time are you talking about? Because we have a floating break today. How much time?
4 minutes.
Four minutes.
Maybe three.
Well, get started, son.
Okay. First, I want to read something in the news which has no bearing on what I want to discuss.
So Come on.
You got to pay for that kind of time, dude.
You got
some money.
Phil, gee whiz.
Just real quick, and you won't be laughing when I'm finished.
I don't want people to call the talk radio show to read things, okay?
Okay. 31 Americans were killed in Afghanistan, and they were the ones who killed Obama. They got him.
Osama,
the SEAL team that killed Obama. Okay.
Oh, that was a Freudian slip.
Nobody killed Obama. He's still president.
Okay. Here's what I want to talk about, and what I'd like to ask Charlie not to deliver a lecture until I'm finished, and then I'll just shut up and he can talk all he wants to. Because this is more for Charlie.
I mean, now the callers are running the radio show.
Can you charge him for that?
Yeah. Go ahead. It's nothing but an ego fest. Phil, you're on, but you're not the host. Okay. Go ahead. I'll decide who does the talking, not you.
It's a request.
Okay.
But anyway, when Reagan was running for the primary for president, I thought he was an idiot. I didn't think he'd have a chance. I thought he would cause the Republicans to lose. Carter, I knew, was a disaster. But anyway, I voted for Reagan thinking, well, what are my choices? And was I ever pleasantly surprised? Unfortunately, Reagan, he was not a blue blood Republican, but there was enough power in the blue blood establishment that they forced him to choose an idiot for his vice president, and it's been downhill ever since. Now, I want to bring this up to the present. In the present situation, and Brad will like this, because if Brad is honest about it, he'll say, do what Phil says, and it'll guarantee the Republicans' defeat. But what I believe at this point in our history, if we're going to save the country, and if we're going to have any chance of curing things, we have to defeat in the primaries all the blue blood Republicans, put in the Tea Party people, and elect them. In other words, Charlie, you're going to have to vote for Michelle Bachmann if you want to save the country.
I have no...
That's all I've got.
Okay, I have no objection to a Tea Party Republican. I want it to be a Tea Party Republican who does it a really good job of presenting the case. Marco Rubio is my idea of a really effective Tea Party Republican. But, you know, Chris Christie is could be called a Tea Party Republican. He's kind of a transitional figure. He'd be able to unify the party. Brad, what's your thought on this?
Well, so here's what I want to see. In terms of these Tea Party Republicans, has one of them given back their entitlements? Has one of them cut their salary? And talk about Chris Christie. What did he get busted for? Chris Christie got busted for using a state helicopter to go to his son's Little League game.
Oh, for
is
God's
this?
Sake.
Please, don't. That is, to me, entitlement and the worst of government.
Okay.
Well, if this is the worst thing somebody does, I mean, Mr. Obama uses his Air Force One to go around the country and raise funds.
He's the president. So these people who are in the Tea Party who are claiming to be cutting back on government and the way things were done in the past, and then to do it just as badly or worse, that to me is a real bad sign.
This is strictly niggly-piggly, and
I really don't.
Okay, you guys. Let's see. I think Nikki is screening a phone call here. I think we have a break to go to, but we'll take our next caller first here, okay? By the way, the phone number is 713-4277. It's a temporary phone number. If you want, I think 477-1340, a number that might be a little easier for you to remember, will get you in to the station today. We will have 479-1080 back in operation in the next 2 or 3 weeks here, I'm advised, because it takes that long for the phone company to port over to a new system here. But that's just the way it is. So right now, if you want to call us, and we invite you to do so here at the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSEO, the phone number to call is 713-4277, or you can call 477-1340. Next caller is going to be Hank in Los Gatos. Hank, thanks for calling. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Stuff the bus.
Hello, I'm Shannon from Palace Art and Office Supply on 41st in Capitola. Hey, Mabel, what's this I hear about a stuffed school bus?
It's our second annual Stuff the Bus this Saturday from 10 to 2. We're joining with United Way and the Santa Cruz County Office of Education to stuff the bus with backpacks and school supplies for Santa Cruz kids that need the help.
Oh, I want to help. What can I do?
You can purchase a United Way pre-filled backpack for $20 for Saturday's Stuff the Bus event. You can place new school supplies in the United Way barrels at both Palace stores, or you can volunteer with United Way on Saturday to help fill backpacks.
Let's invite everybody to help the kids get a good start this school year by joining the fun Saturday 10 to 2 at Palace in Capitola on 41st Avenue for Stuff the Bus.
Stuff the bus.
Palace Art and Office Supply is a proud member of Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangerl. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangerl family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Have you noticed that food just doesn't taste good anymore? Why is that? If you eat food, you'll want to know this. Our fruits, grains, and vegetables contain less and less nutrition every year. Chances are even your organic plants don't have anywhere near the 70-plus minerals that make a plant healthy and delicious. Listen up, home gardeners, farmers, growers, and lovers of good food. This is Andy Anderson telling you that you can go beyond organic. Perk up your plants and revitalize your fields with Bloomin' Minerals from Youngevity. This marvelous soil conditioner will remineralize your soil with up to 76 organically bound earth elements. That means healthier and better looking crops that resist bugs, mold, cold, and other nasties that can wipe you out. Commercial farmers are reporting faster growth, more yield, and higher brick scores. That means better tasting food for you and me. Get Bloomin' Minerals in powder and liquid form, from a spray bottle for houseplants to 55-gallon drums for professional growers. Call us now to order toll-free, 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Real estate can be really confusing these days, but we make it easy to understand on Open House Radio. Hello, I'm Renee Mello, host of Open House. Each Saturday at 2 p.m., we reach into all the neighborhoods of the local real estate market and talk our way through appraisals, financing, inspections, offers, closings, with all kinds of real estate experts. Join me, Renee Mello, for Open House Radio Saturday, 2 p.m. on KSCO.
Yeah, I want to invite Hank and Los Gatos to call back. A little snafu here. I put him on the air, but I didn't put him on the air. We had a commercial instead. welcome back to hour number two of the Saturday special. We're in the home stretch. You got about 19 minutes left. Our phone numbers are four. Phone numbers, yes, we do have numbers. 713-4277. An unfamiliar number that you never heard before. 713-4277. You can also reach us at 477-1340. Both of those numbers are in area 831. If you're listening to us in Hawaii or worldwide somewhere on the internet, you'll have to call the United States and then area code 831 and then either 713-4277 or 477-1340. We're inaugurating a brand new state-of-the-art talk studio now, and that's why we're having all the technical difficulties. But you were warned for days, or at least a couple days, in the Saturday special promo. We have in the studio with us as guests today, Brad Cava and Charlie Friedman, both KSCO talk hosts. My name is MZ. KZ is in the front office giving out bumper stickers that say, "Listen and be heard, KSCO AM 1080. They're very tasteful, white and gold and black bumper stickers. Come on down, get your free one, and please put it on the on your bumper to display it so that more people can discover this most unique radio station. You won't find a station anywhere in the country left like KSCO. And there are reasons that we can go into in a future program. But if you get into the habit of listening to KSCO, you will agree that what I said is a correct statement. 477-1340 or 713-4277 is the phone number. And I asked for Hank and Los Gatos to call back. He has done so. Let's see if I can do it right this time. Hank, you're on the air. I hope. I did. It is. It's up.
What a system.
Okay, here we go. Now you're on. Hank, you're on. Oh, now I guess it's his phone. I guess it's his cell phone that went out. Okay. Okay, next one. Let's talk to Suzette in Monterey. She was cut off earlier. Suzette, you want to finish your thought?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just wanted to mention, one of the callers said, has there ever been a congressman or president that's given money back? And there has, in fact. Ron Paul, every year, returns any money that he doesn't use in his budget. He has never taken a lobbyist paid for junket. He flies commercial, and he does not participate in the very lucrative pension plan that the Congress is given. They have a great deal.
I'll vote for the guy. If all that's true, I would vote for him.
Well, I would remind you that we had a president who never took his salary, returned the entire salary to the U.S. Treasury, said, "I don't need it." That was Herbert Hoover.
All right. He's got my vote, too.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger recently in California. During his 7 years as governor, he never took a nickel for salary at all. Turned it all back to the Treasury. Nevertheless, the accomplishment in office of these two men is open to question.
And didn't we have a local congressman named Leon Panetta at one point who did that also?
He took his salary?
No, he did not. He did not, Charlie. You're incorrect on that one. Yeah, he returned it.
That's interesting.
He returned it. Now, if that is my recollection, and I remember, I don't forget something like that.
We'll check that up. Yeah,
we'll check it out. If we find out that that's incorrect, then I will certainly apologize. But that's what my memory is.
I'd love to hear one of these people pass some legislation or propose a bill saying, hey, let's cut our salary in half.
Yeah.
And let's give up the lifetime health care all the other entitlements.
The only one I've seen so far do it right here in Santa Cruz County, Greg Kaplan. On the County Board of Supervisors came in. He had campaigned on a promise to reduce supervisor salaries. He came in and worked like hell to do it. They voted him down, but he, on his own initiative, is doing exactly what he proposed.
We're going to try to go back to the phone lines now. Again, try Hank. Hank, are you there?
Yep, sure am.
Okay, good.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air now.
Your state-of-the-art system is doing great.
Yeah.
My pet peeve has to do with the education of the public about taxes. I believe any economist worth their salt will tell you that any increase in taxes kills jobs. The only question is how many jobs and which ones.
Mm-hmm.
But any increase in taxes will kill jobs. I don't think the American public really understands that.
I don't believe
this. Well, this is one of the reasons why Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal did not revive the economy during the 1930s. Before Roosevelt came to office, President Hoover had raised taxes significantly, and by the time he came into office, Mr. Roosevelt raised them even further. During the 1930s, the marginal tax rate in the United States was 90%. So for, the well-to-do, every time they made a dollar, they had to give 90 cents of it to the federal government, and the economy remained in the doldrums for 8 years on that account.
And yet, under Eisenhower, the same tax rate was in place and during those booms, you talked about.
Yes, and do you know why? Because you're talking about a very, very atypical and non-repeatable epoch. Think about it. It's the end of World War II. Germany and Japan, the two of the greatest industrial powers in the country, are laid waste. All of Europe is laid waste. During the 1950s, the United States of America accounted for 50% of the entire world output of goods and services. That is an unnatural environment. Under those circumstances, even poor public policy would still yield a reasonably prosperous country, and we had three recessions during the Eisenhower administration.
With those arguments, we can't win either way. If a high tax rate and an epic, unusual epic, we had the high tax rate for years, right on up to the 1960s.
Yeah, we want to thank Hank for calling in. We want to thank you guys for talking. And I'm going to have to step in or else we won't.
These bumper stickers?
Oh, yeah. What did you say?
These bumper stickers, said they were tasty. Well, I tried. It doesn't taste good at all.
No, tasteful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Michael, you know where I'm putting this? I got to tell you. I'm riding my bicycle today. I'm getting a ride over to San Jose, picking up my bicycle and riding it back. I'm going to put it on the back of my bike.
There you go.
Well, yeah, that's good.
That'll be good.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure a lot of people, not as many people as you take an extra one for your car. You still drive a car, right, Brad?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. 477-1340 or 713-4277 are the phone numbers to call to connect you to AM 1080 KSCO. And our next caller is going to be Alan in Watts. Okay. Alan in Watts, you're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you, Alan in Watts?
I'm doing great, thanks. I wanted to correct a couple of things that were said about the Chinese deficit, or not the deficit, but the tariffs. Some long time ago, all the nations of the world signed on to a treaty that called the Harmonized Treaty. So all of the tariffs in all the countries were harmonized to the same. So they for every, for a shirt, it's the same if you're sending it to China or if you're buying it from China and that sort of thing. So they've evened up all of that. And the Chinese depend on us. You know, they may own our debt right now, but without our market, they are nothing. And so we are sort of codependent. And so it doesn't really work to stop trade. We need their money, and they need our goods or our markets. And the other thing is we, as a nation, controlled all of the markets into China for many, many years. I mean, it's only a cycle now that they're on the up and we're on the down. And you know, we made lamps and heaters so that Standard Oil, they sold them really cheap into China, but Standard Oil could sell kerosene.
Oil for the lamps of China. Yeah, I saw the movie.
Exactly.
That came about 1935. Yeah, I remember that.
Right. So it's you know, the business takes care of itself. And they don't need to steal our secrets because we gave them our secrets. I was part of it. I worked for West Marine doing foreign trade, and I bought things over there. But I transferred technology to help them do a better job, and our computer industry has done exactly the same. There are Chinese and Taiwanese factories producing goods every bit as good as anything in this country. So
they're producing everything in this country. So, yes, it's true. You buy an Apple computer, it was made in China.
Right. But it's because they make them cheaper, and we pass the technology to them.
It's true.
We didn't steal it.
Although, in terms of other things, intellectual property, they also sell our DVDs. They just steal our DVDs. They steal our music.
Well, that's true. That's a you know, a thing that's easy to steal, and Chinese people want to make money.
Can't conceive.
Whatever way they can.
Can't conceive of such a thing. Our popular entertainment and somebody talk about stealing trash.
Well, that's a big money. It's the only one of the only things we produce.
I know. It's just that if they all depended on me for dough, they'd all be starving.
Anyhow, I want to let everybody know. Thank you very much for calling, Alan and
okay.
Watt. That was very, very, very kind of you to call. 713-4277. And I think we have Harold in Aptos. Are you there, Harold in Aptos? Harold in Aptos. There is no Harold in Aptos, so we will drop Harold in Aptos. Okay. Seized on air. Okay. I don't know how to do any of this stuff here. So 713-4277 is the phone number. If you want to give us a call. There are people ringing in now all over the place here, so we'll find out. We've got Charlie here.
Which call do you want to take?
Well, there is no call holding right now. Millie? Is Millie in Aptos?
Oh, yeah, Millie's one of my favorite callers.
Okay. Hi, Millie, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for the show today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Regarding the statement by Charlie, the government does not create jobs. Not so. When I was a child in San Francisco, one after another vet even lost their homes. It was devastating in 1933. That's the year FDR was sworn in. He created the WPA, which put people to work on public buildings in every borough and city in this country, including the huge Rincon Annex in San Francisco, Federal Building, everything. Also, I'm sure Charlie has heard of the Tennessee Valley Authority, a monstrous project, all government. Of course, they had to hire the contractors, but it was government paid for. That put little...
As soon as government hires the contractors, at that point, government is saying, okay, we want this built. They let it out for bids. And Granite, for example, in Watsonville might come up with the winning bid. At that point, Granite, a private concern, is the one that actually creates the jobs. This I have no problem with. If government wants to do this and go through private, but the problem is that is a kind of a secondhand way of creating jobs. And you've got to bear in mind that, again, the money to pay for these public works projects has to come from somewhere. It has to either come from tax revenues or from borrowed money if you're financing in deficit as we are today. That's the only point I made earlier. What you say about the WPA and the public works that were built during the 30s, hey, you're absolutely right. Those things are there, and we see them and still use them. But that didn't end the Depression.
I think it did. I think it primed the pump to end the Depression. And some of it started with Hoover, to go back. Thus, the reason the dam was named for him. He started the Hoover Dam Project. Mm-hmm. So, yes, so you have to prime the pump and put people to work.
Actually, the first votes were taken when Cal was still in office.
Okay.
So but, if you want to go back, it takes a long time to build a dam that
right.
size.
But the point is, those were big projects. That's what government is about, building the projects that private people can't afford to do. And you have to start somewhere. They prime the pump. They put the borrowed money or tax revenue money into something. We need all those things now as well.
The biggest campaign of public works spending you ever saw was undertaken by Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union. Now, cast aside his totalitarianism and the Gulag and all that. Forget about that. Talk about it as an economic policy. Here you had a country that based its entire, electricity was Stalin's, we have to build these great dams, we have to generate power, et cetera, et cetera. And the projects were built, but they did not generate a prosperous economy in that country.
At the same time, if you say cutting taxes will provide jobs, forget that. Because
it helps.
Once you cut taxes, you have nothing to fund the jobs with. Oh. On top of that, if you cut taxes at this point, what's that going to do? Let's stop all taxes.
Okay,
is that going to make jobs?
First of all, nobody is advocating a tax cut at this time. I'm not. Nobody I know is. The only fight we've had is, should we raise taxes? The only choices we have here are keeping taxes at their present levels or raising them. Tax cuts are off the table.
Right.
So if you raise taxes, any economist will tell you, you take money out of the economy, out of the hands of people who spend it, who invest it, etc., and you put it in the hands of government. This is a slowing effect on the economy. I didn't learn this from some Tea Party. I learned it from Ken Neary, a good Democrat, who was Doctor of Economics at Cabrillo College back in 1970. This is Econ 101, and it is not controversial. It is basic stuff no matter which economic school you follow.
Well, it's not. It is, in fact, controversial. There's two schools of thought on it. And there are people who say, well, on top of this, we're raising our debt, right, as we always have. Why aren't we willing to pay for it with taxes?
We have paid our debt down in the past. There have been ups and downs on this. The idea, the first guy, who created the American public debt was Alexander Hamilton, who's still regarded as the best Secretary of the Treasury we ever had. So the idea of America having a public debt is not a bad thing. The idea of America establishing credit is not a bad thing. It's like anything else. Having a credit card is good, but if you exhaust your credit and you overuse your credit, then you have a problem.
Right, and you've got to pay for it. And how do you pay for it? One of the ways is through taxes.
That's right, and through raising productivity so that people have the money to pay. Right now, we're on our uppers.
Okay, you guys, it's the Saturday special, remember? On AM 1080 KSEO, we're in the final two or three minutes of the program, and we're going to bring, by the way, I want to say it is a great system, and we're certainly taking our knocks getting used to it, but it's so cool because we can see, we have caller ID on this for the first time, and all these years we've never had it.
So be careful.
So what's going to
happen? You may lose all your callers. They all think they're anonymous.
No. So what's going to happen from now on? No, there are still, if you are anonymous on your phone, it displays that it's anonymous, but I think there's a way that we can, a setting that we could say so that it's not a level playing field if you know who we are, but we don't know who you are. So we're going to hit that setting here. So anybody who has an anonymous telephone number that's where the caller ID phone number is not displayed will be rejected.
I don't think there's an awful lot of separate.
I know, and they won't be able to call KSEO if we do that.
Or they'll have to be civil when they do.
Yeah. Anyhow, here's Harold in Aptos on an anonymous phone line. Harold, you're on the air.
Okay, first of all, for MZ. MZ, it's time to change at 4 o'clock. Time slot, time for Charlie to go. He's living in the 1920s. He doesn't take phone calls. He's banished me. And he
you had it coming, Jack.
He's played this off.
No, it's not Jack. It's Harold.
Wait, MZ, let me get in. Now, here's your competition. Corral, Cam.
Hey, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Now,
God, you're a hater.
Yeah, he calls in to give an ad for other radio stations.
I've just
banned him again, too.
It's reasonable that he would take that point because he just talked about a guy who was a hater and who disgraced himself on the air by ranting hatred. And that is what Harold did on my program. And, yes, I 86'd your call, and by God, I'll do it again.
It should be. Okay, so that's it here. That's it. How do we do this here?
Carefully.
There we go.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, 12 noon. Fox News is coming your way, so stay tuned.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. President Obama and Defense Secretary Leon Panetta paying tribute to the 31 American Special Operations troops killed this morning in the crash of a helicopter in Afghanistan.
The Taliban have taken responsibility for shooting down the chopper. It's something they often do when there are helicopter crashes here, but by the initial reports, it does sound as if the Taliban were able to bring this chopper down. At some point during the middle of the night, this group of troops were launching a raid on a Taliban compound in Borak province. At some point, the Taliban returned fire with an RPG and brought down this chopper.
Fox's Connor Powell in Kabul. Most of the troops killed were from the elite Navy SEALs unit that carried out the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, though none of today's dead are believed to have actually participated in the raid itself. The Standard & Poor's rating agency is defending last night's downgrade of the U.S. debt rating from AAA to AA+.
The rating was motivated by a number of factors. One was the political gridlock in Washington, which makes us think that it's going to be difficult for elected officials to put the fiscal profile of the U.S. government on a long-term sustainable path. And part of it was because of the fiscal path itself.
S&P's John Chambers, who says that if $4 trillion deficit reduction figure talked about in everything from President Obama's so-called grand design plan to Congressman Paul Ryan's budget plan had actually come to pass, S&P might not have taken the action it did. The U.S. Treasury is disputing the S&P action, saying its calculations of U.S. debt, S&P's, were off by $2 trillion. The Loosenet Internet Computer Hacking Collective that calls itself Anonymous said today it's hacked into the websites of some 70 mostly rural law enforcement outfits. The group posting a cache of documents to the web today, including stolen emails and credit card numbers. Charles Grainer, the 42-year-old former Army Reserve Corporal convicted of organizing the abuse of detainees at Abu Ghraib Prison, has been released from a Kansas military prison. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Every night, Fox Business is the place for smart, aggressive, insightful business news. At 8, Judge Napolitano is on Freedom Watch.
This is about free enterprise and your right to live the American dream.
At 9, on America's Nightly Scoreboard, David Asman keeps you plugged in.
This is about winners and losers and who's really making the power moves.
And at 10, Eric Bolling is on the case. It's Follow the Money.
This is about getting the facts and exposing the truth.
This is about business in America. This is Fox Business. Check your local listings.
He wanted to be known for doing his best.
Sure, right.
His best made him Major League Baseball's most valuable player.
Strike two.
He played in 6 World Series and was elected to the Hall of Fame. Although an honest man, he was best at stealing home. But the best quality of Jackie Robinson's life was his character. So here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Thanks for passing it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
A jury has ruled in favor of a notorious security outfit in a case stemming from its work in the war zones.
The security company, once known as Blackwater, dodged a legal bullet when a jury in Virginia rejected claims that it defrauded the U.S. government. The claims were brought by 2 former employees who said Blackwater, now known as Z, falsified records to soak the State Department for as much as $300 million for work in Iraq and Afghanistan. Many of the allegations never got to the jury. Dismissed by the judge, who said there wasn't enough evidence, including the claim that Blackwater spent taxpayer money to hire prostitutes. The case may not be over. The former employees plan to appeal on Monday. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Texas Governor Rick Perry, who continues to suggest he may jump into the Republican presidential race, presenting himself as a man of faith at a Houston rally this afternoon.
I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
Perry spearheaded this rally. The AP now estimating 30,000 were on hand at Reliance Stadium in Houston. Well, there'll be something missing this weekend at a familiar sports celebration in Ohio.
He led the Super Bowl champion Rams 12 years ago, but Marshall Faulk sounds humbled going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, telling NFL Network.
It's been nice to see how people receive you, and you hadn't played a down in 5 years.
Exactly.
Also going in his first year of eligibility, six-time All-Pro defensive back Deion Sanders, whose goal in life is to
do it with everything you have and have that passion. And don't worry about what they're going to say about that passion and that fire.
Also being enshrined, Chicago Super Bowl MVP Richard Gant and former Denver and Baltimore tight end Shannon Sharp. The ceremonies in Canton, Ohio, minus the Hall of Fame game, a casualty of the NFL lockout. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Police in Sao Paulo, Brazil say a cook has confessed to putting rat poison in meals served in a public school cafeteria. 38 people sickened, all okay now. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast. We're going to have some, it still looks a little cloudy out there. Apparently, we got some clouds staying with us until later this afternoon. High of about 70 today. The west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tonight, partly cloudy. Low of 54. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on Sunday, we're going to have the early clouds and fog and then mostly sunny. High of 69, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, west winds 10 knots, increasing 10 to